Well, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Man, I love this echo. It makes me feel really special. Can you believe we're almost through with Ecclesiastes? I pray that the Lord has blessed you in our study. We're going to finish chapter 10 tonight. If you want to go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes 10, we're going to cover 11 through 20 in the verses. And the title of my message tonight is The Characteristics of a Fool. And just to recap a little bit from last week, we studied many different things, but mainly we learned how wisdom, according to God's word, is better than strength. We learned that it was even better than weapons of war, and that the end result of having God's wisdom in our life is that it brings success. But on the other hand, the direct opposite of walking in God's wisdom, of course, is being a fool. And the four things that we learned about folly last Wednesday was that it damages our reputation. You know, just a little bit of folly in one's life can totally ruin your reputation. I was reading just a few days ago about the Fort Worth city manager, and he went on a little weekend getaway with the Basses. And it said even though he had an impeccable record, just the thought of maybe some impropriety or something that was a conflict of interest already has soured his perfect reputation. So just a little folly. Now, I would have gone on the trip with him. I'm just letting you know, private jet, the Basses, I'll go skiing with them anytime. But just a little bit of that damages in our life. Y'all okay tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, I like skiing, do you? I've never been, but I like it, you know. We were too poor to go skiing. But anyway, so it damages our reputation. We also learned a little bit of folly demands our patience, especially when it's our superior, when it's our boss, and we're wondering, why are they even in that position? Or it's our supervisor. Man, that's when folly really demands patience in our life. And we learned also that it deserves God's judgment. If you dig a pit, Solomon says, you're going to end up falling into it. You break down a door, someone's house, you violate them, you're going to get bit by a snake. And then finally, we learned about folly is that it dulls the axe. If you look in verse 10, it says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. So folly in our lives, it dulls the axe and it will not bring success. It'll actually wear you out. But we learned that sharpening the axe, according to Proverbs, is actually gaining God's wisdom. But if we allow just a little bit of folly in our lives, just a minute amount, it will dull the axe head of our lives. And so now in verses 11 through 20, we have several proverbs actually about foolishness or about folly or the fool. And what we have here are the characteristics of a dull axe or of a fool. Let's read it together before we go to the Lord in prayer. Solomon says, a serpent may bite when he is not charmed, but the babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what it is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for the time that we have to come together and worship you by the study of your word. And first, we just lift up, Father God, our youth and their upcoming camp as they depart this Friday. We ask for your presence, your manifested presence, to be with them in a special way. We look for lives to be forever changed as they come together to study your word and to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Just protect them on the way there and back and give them divine favor in all that we do. all that they do. And Lord, and for tonight, it is so easy to allow the characteristics of foolishness, the sin of being a fool in our lives. It's easy to spurn your wisdom that'll never fail and be enticed by the world's smooth words, the things that they say to try to lead us away from you. And Lord, we need your wisdom and to be able to face folly, to be able to even have the right response. And so, Lord, just help us tonight to see how amazing your wisdom is for the believer, that it changes every aspect of our lives. And in turn, we become a positive and powerful witness for you to all that we encounter. Help us truly to be the light of the world, Father God. Help us continually to be a reflection of you and not of ourselves. We thank you and we praise you, and it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. So we're going to talk about three main characteristics of a fool. And I'm going to go ahead and give you them because we're going to have a lot of points in between. But for those who would like to follow by way of outline, first we're going to see that a fool is not controlled in what they say. They are not controlled in what they say. And that's verses 11 through 15. Secondly, regarding the characteristics of a fool, we see that they are not concerned about priorities or responsibilities in their lives. That's verses 16 through 19. And finally, we see that a fool is not careful. They're not even concerned about any consequences for their thoughts and their words and their deeds. And that's verse 20. So let's start with the first one on how the fool is not controlled in what they say. Someone said that the character of one's talk is the litmus test or the acid test for wisdom in a person's life. I think that that's very true. The things that we say have great consequences. They could rather bring life or they can bring destruction. Proverbs 17:7 tells us that excellent speech is not befitting of a fool. It's something that you're not going to hear from them. But that wise people, according to Proverbs 10:14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. That's all they can do is destroy. They cannot bring life. They cannot edify. And so the fool, not controlled in what he says, is really seen in two ways. We could say it's by the nature of his words. It's actually how he says it. But it is also by the number of words, is how much he says. You can always tell a fool because he never shuts up. The first thing we see is that they react like a snake. Verse 11. Isn't that sad about how a fool's not controlled in what he says? And the first thing we see, he reacts like a snake. It says, a serpent may bite when it's not charmed. The babbler is no different. So if you don't charm him, he's going to bite you. He's going to snap at you, just like a snake. And that word babbler literally means lord of the tongue or master of the tongue. Now, the Bible is not saying that he's a master of a tongue. It's a play on the word here in Hebrew, the play on the situation. What it's saying is he thinks he is a master of the tongue. In the Old Testament, this word babbler or babblers is actually used to describe the false prophets in the Old Testament. It is not a word that you want to be called. As one scholar said, if itching ears are bad, referring to 2 Timothy 4:3, he said, itching lips are worse and more hurtful in the end. When we read James, always encouraging to read James in the tongue, right? No, it's usually very depressing when we read it. But he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless, James 1:26. He goes on in chapter 3:8 and says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison, just like a snake. So a fool, he's not controlled in what they say. They can't. He'll just let anything come out of his mouth. And if you're like me, you know, I read James and I say, man, it says no man can tame the tongue. I get a little depressed. I'm just being honest because there's a lot of times I don't tame the tongue. Drive with me on 35 or 820 and you'll see such. It's hard. But see, we should be encouraged because it reminds us of our dependency and our accountability to the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to have God's help in order to have the right response. So don't be depressed by that. We can be controlled in what we say. And number two, we see about the nature of his words, verse 12, a fool responds without kindness. He doesn't have any love in his heart. It says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Proverbs 12:13 says the same thing, also written by Solomon. He says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. As we've learned over and over, we learned it in Proverbs and we also learned it in Ecclesiastes, it's not so much what we say, but it's how we say it. Isn't that tough? That's a tough thing. Have y'all mastered that yet? Everyone in Fort Worth has. It's the Dallas people that have issues with it, right? Yes, we've all mastered it. You know, you can say the right thing. What you can say can be truth. It can be truth from God's word, but you can say it with the wrong spirit. And see, we need God's wisdom to even have the right, the appropriate response, because wise words, they're gracious. It says in Proverbs 15:23 that a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Isn't that truth? When someone comes to you and it's a word from the Lord, man, the encouragement that can come by what we say, but on the other end of that, we can also bring destruction. In 25:11 of Proverbs, Solomon says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. So just how the word is said, the setting of the word is crucial to how it is received. And I look at that and I say, man, our communication needs the grace of God poured on it. We need the grace of God on our lips. But a fool, man, he will never respond kindly. He doesn't have the love of God in his heart. He only has self. In Proverbs 22:11, it says that he who loves purity of heart is going after God and his word. It says he has grace on his lips and the king will be his friend. How neat is that? Just that humility and the Lord will take you places. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29 that we should not let any corrupt word or communication proceed out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, meaning building up, that we may impart, it says, grace to the hearers. So we impart grace by the people that we encounter, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as to the world by what we say. We impart grace to those who we encounter. And see, that's how to build people up. We give them what they don't deserve, and that's grace. Do we deserve God's grace? Man, absolutely not. And because we have received it, we should also reciprocate it. Through the power of God, through His direction, not in our own might, we'll fail miserably if we do that. But we have that accountability unto Him, that grace, because it is a violation. It's a violation and a grievous sin, but it's a violation of God's word to tear people down. And when we do this, according to Ephesians, it actually grieves the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is grieved when we do this. He goes on in 4:30 through 32 of Ephesians, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, but let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and it says, an evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. But it is tragic, the damage that can be caused by just what we say. As a child, I always hated that phrase, sticks and stones, you know, may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I remember telling a teacher, obviously you've never read the book of James. And that did not go over too well with that teacher. But that's a horrible thing. Because is that true? No. Man, the lasting impact on words, the things that we say, can destroy a person. It can cause them to enter into a depression where they'll even take their lives. We've seen that from just bullying, or the new term, the cyberbullying that we've seen in the past 10, 15 years. Children taking their lives. Why? Because of the things that come out of people's mouths. There is power in the tongue. Colossians 4:5-6 tells us to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, it says, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So, loved one, it's a necessity to have God's wisdom and also His grace in our lives in order to have the proper response. Because a fool, man, they are not controlled in the things that they say. They'll just let anything come out of their mouths. And that's the nature of his words. He responds like a snake. He doesn't have kindness in his response to others. And third, we see that he raves like a madman, or he loses control. Look at verse 13. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and at the end of his talk is raving madness. We have to always remember it is so dangerous what can come out of our mouths. We can start off a conversation and everything's going well, and all of a sudden we can react just like a snake, can't we? Get offended. Someone says something that we don't, what do you mean by that? And then all of a sudden, I mean, you're fighting and y'all were just talking. Why? Just what comes out of our mouths. We have to have our tongue bridled. In 14:16 of Proverbs, Solomon says that a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. And so one of the reasons a fool loses their temper is because of a heart issue. They have arrogance in their heart. They have pride in their hearts. Remember when we talked about pride being the snare of the devil, it denies the limits of one's own authority. They don't care what God says. They don't care what God's word says. They only care about self. But when you and I are truly humble, when we have the wisdom of God operating in our lives, listen, there's a broken spirit in our hearts. We look at the lost or we look at situations and we say, man, there go I, but the grace of God. That could be me. And so there's a tenderness, there's a discernment, there's a prudence that comes in the way that we speak to people. And we show God's grace to everyone we encounter. We give them what they do not deserve. As Proverbs 15:2 tells us, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. So you can use knowledge the wrong way. It says, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. He just never shuts up. Isn't that great? Anyone know a fool? Someone just said they were married to one over there. Can you believe they said that? This sounds mean. I don't care what anyone says. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Proverbs 15:14. That's what they consume. And so a fool is known for the nature of his words. That's what he says. But he's also known, and we could all recognize this, Solomon says he's known for the number of his words. How much he says. 14 says, a fool also multiplies words. No man knows what it is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? Proverbs 10:19 says the same thing. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So there's two things that we see about the multiplicity of words that come out of a fool's mouth, and that's that they reveal nothing. Isn't that encouraging? You know, like Pastor Bill will say, you know, about certain ministers will say, well, that's a longhorn sermon. I said, well, what's that? He said, 2 points with a bunch of bull in between. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't have anything good. I mean, everything that they say actually reveals nothing. They claim they know a lot. The fool has said in his heart that there's no God. That's how crazy he is. He actually thinks he has infinite knowledge, because you would have to make such a claim. But his speech reveals nothing, and also it results in weariness and lack of direction. That's what it says. He doesn't know where he's going. 15 says, the labor of fools, because they work so hard, right? No, they don't. But it wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. He doesn't even know his way back to town. Now, I don't have a sense of direction, so this offends me a little bit. But this guy's so bad, he'd get lost on an escalator. Okay, that's the point. I mean, he doesn't even know how to get back home. That's how deceived this fool is. As 2 Timothy 3:7 says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's a picture of a fool, man. They're always learning, at least they think, but they're never arriving. They're a dull axe, and working with a dull axe does something. It exhausts you. It's not efficient. It never brings success. As Ecclesiastes 12:12, Solomon says, and further, my son, be admonished by these things. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study, he says, is wearisome to the flesh. So this is folly without even the excuse for ignorance. See, a fool's approach to life is one of a sloth. He denies the limits of what God's word says in the realm of diligence and faithfulness. He's a sloth. He doesn't care about it. And so we see that first statement, that first characteristic, that a fool is not controlled in what they say. But in verse 16 through 19, we see that a fool, and man, this is where we're at today, is not concerned about their responsibilities. They're not concerned about their priorities. And I'm always amazed at how relevant God's word is, even all these years later. But more than ever before, especially just in the past 2-3 years, people are no longer concerned with their responsibilities. Amen? Come on now. People are quitting their jobs in making the choice, instead of being productive, to sit at home and do nothing, or to collect disability or unemployment when they do not need that. I'm not deriding anyone who needs disability or unemployment. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of us that we've seen in our culture, they are taking advantage of the system. Amen? And they don't want to work. They don't want any responsibility. And responsibility, accountability, duty, man, these are things that are not in the fool's vocabulary. And now this 21st century society is concerned with their rights. They're concerned with what life can give them and what privileges they ought to have, what they think they deserve, and what society owes them. We're at a really sad place right now. People are not accountable for themselves. And when people, now listen now, when people start to relate to one another on the basis of rights, what they think they deserve, instead of responsibilities, that is the making of a selfish and foolish society. For where there is self-seeking, there is every other form of evil. Every other form. Are we seeing that today? Man, people don't even want to work. They say, well, I'm worth more than that. And I want to say, well, apparently not. Otherwise, you'd have a job. Listen, I would rather work for minimum wage, serve the Lord with a joyful heart because I know it's a gift from the Lord to even be able to work, amen, than sit at home and do nothing. How can that be a Christian's way of life? That's a sad way to live. It's a wonderful thing to be able to wake up, get out of bed, clean yourself up, feed yourself. Those are gifts from God. I know people who can't. They're in homes being taken care of. They don't have that. But just to be able to get out and do anything and do it as under the Lord, listen, that is a gift from God, and the ability to just enjoy whatever we do. You say, well, I'm miserable with where I'm at. Well, the ability to enjoy what you have is also a gift from God. And I can say, according to his words, your priorities are wrong. And this is what Ecclesiastes is saying right here in verses 16 through 19 about this foolishness, this fool that doesn't want any responsibilities. He says, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, speaking of maturity, not age. And your princes feast in the morning, meaning indulgence. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, can't say that word, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Someone told me that was their life verse the other day. No, not really. I'm just joking. This verse isn't commending it. It's saying this is the position of the fool. This is the fool's philosophy. This is their way of life. They just, you know, live it up and enjoy yourself. And so we see from these three verses or four verses here that a fool is not concerned about his activities. He indulges himself, it says, at the wrong times and for the wrong reasons. So he's a glutton. He denies the limits of consumption. We see that he's not concerned about his apathy. It says a feast is made, it says the building decays because of laziness and idleness of hands. So he's a sloth. Just like when we learned about the lazy man devoid of understanding. Remember they went by the field of the sluggard, the man devoid of understanding, and there it was all overgrown with thorns and nettles, remember? The stone wall was broken down, meaning just the mortar and the bricks, there was no maintaining. Everything was set up for him, but there was no diligence. There was no accountability under the Lord for everything that they do. So he's apathetic, and we see he is not concerned by his attitude. See, if he says a feast is made for laughter, but what did verse 17 say? It says a feast is made for strength. See, he has pride in his heart. like I said earlier, denies the limits of one's own authority. But see, a fool's philosophy in life, his attitude is to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He's an Epicurean. Is that not a picture of our society today? Instead of living life with the living God, a fool lives for self. And he is not concerned with his own priorities in life. He's not concerned with responsibilities. And finally, the last characteristic we see of a fool in verse 20 is that he is not careful about any consequences of what he thinks, what he says, and what he does. He says, "Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter." Wow. You know, the Mosaic Code in Exodus actually forbade speaking evil of rulers. It says in Exodus 22:28, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people." Even Paul in Acts 23:5, when he mistakenly spoke against the high priest, he didn't know he was. Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But Ecclesiastes here, see, it takes it a step further. It goes beyond speech, and it says, you have to chain even the thoughts of your mind. See, we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to bring every thought into captivity, pulling down those strongholds. So think about this. If the thought of disloyalty against the king is forbidden, how much more the great king? How much more the King of Kings? Should we show ultimate respect and honor? Not that we don't fall, not that we don't blow it, but we are not willing to live in willing sin. It's not the way of a Christian. We know, yeah, hey, we fall maybe 7 times in a day, a righteous man will, but who lifts us up? The Lord. We have to put our trust in Him. I mean, He knows our every thought. Amen. Sometimes that's not comforting for some of us. Amen. Come on now. We're going to have a prayer service here in about 10 minutes. I'm going to get the deacons to bring the anointing oil in buckets because y'all need a double dose, praise God. Ezekiel 11:5 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, 'Speak, thus says the Lord, thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind.'" See, God knows it all. Why are we even trying to hide? Why don't we come to Him in humility and with an open heart and say, "Lord, I need you to clean me up again. I've walked in the air as a fool. I haven't been concerned about my responsibilities or my speech. I'm not truly accountable unto you." As Paul says in Colossians 3:8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy," and it says, "filthy language out of your mouth." Well, how do we do that? Well, we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, by everything that we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do. In Proverbs, that was one of the definitions of wisdom. It's the application of God's holiness for all we think, all we say, and all that we do. Amen? That's walking in the wisdom of God. Aren't you glad that He gives it to us freely, without reproach, when we just come in faith and ask Him? I mean, that's the God that we serve. But see, a fool, he doesn't think that there's going to be any consequences for his actions. He thinks that he can live in sin and live any way he wants, and there'll be no consequence. But Proverbs 26:2, in referencing this verse especially, says, "Like a flitting sparrow or a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight," meaning it keeps going. It's going to cause a lot of damage and destruction. Just like we learned last week, Solomon says, listen, if you are digging a pit for someone to fall into it, you're trying to trap them by your words, what happens? You're going to end up falling into it. That's what happens. But not only that, the end, the judgment that comes from people who did not control their tongue is very severe. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:24-27. He says, "Brood of vipers," he calls them a bunch of snakes, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you," Jesus says this, "that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Man, but a fool is one who's not concerned at all about his consequences for anything that he thinks, anything that he says, anything that he does. It's the exact opposite of wisdom. If I asked you guys if y'all wanted to be like Jesus, I hope everyone would say yes. Amen? But if we want to be like Jesus, we have to have grace on our lips. That's going to be present in our lives. We're going to be a reflection of Jesus himself to those we encounter. In Luke 4:16 through 22, after Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and fasting, defeated Satan and the great temptation there, it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. See, Jesus went to church. And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And Jesus says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him, and it says, and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" See, people should say that about us. They should say, "Is that not Bill's son? How is God's grace coming out of him like that?" You see what I mean? It's all about the Lord working through us. We abide in the vine, and what happens? He abides in us. And who produces the fruit? Do we? No, it's the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit produces that in our lives when we're simply abiding in the vine. See, we have to never forget that we need it more than ever before, especially in this age of social media and people typing whatever they want to and hiding behind a screen and think they're justified by their actions, and they're not. That's an idle word, and they're wicked words, and they should never be on a Christian's profile online or in person. But we need the Holy Spirit to control what comes out of our mouths. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon him," and the people marveled at his gracious words. See, that's what we need. We need the grace of God to be on our lips. Paul says in Ephesians 4:14 through 16 that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, they're babblers. But it says, speaking the truth in love. That's actually one word in the Greek. It's just truthing. It means you can't speak the truth without doing it in love. See, they go hand in hand. It's contrary to one another to try to do it otherwise, and we'll actually end up in sin. Well, we will be a fool. We'll be wise in our own eyes. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, because it affects us all, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does his share. There's no slothfulness. It causes something. It says it causes growth of the body for the edifying, for the building up of itself in love. See, that's a picture of a church that's walking in the wisdom and in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a church that makes a difference in people's lives. Why? Because they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They're not fools. They don't want to be heard. They only want God's word to be heard. They never elevate themselves. They only point people to Jesus. Why? Because of God's grace. We know, there go I, but for the grace of God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Let us truly have grace on our lips, even grace on our fingers when y'all are at those keyboards, loved one, or on your phones. It's tragic to see the things that are said that we think that we are not going to be held accountable for. Listen, we're going to answer to God for those things. And we can rather judge ourselves now, or we can be judged later. And I tell you what, I'd rather judge myself. Amen? I'd rather get right with God now. And while we do have time here, which is short, it's but a vapor. I want to speak words that build up people, that encourage them. That, you know, I mean, people need that now more than ever. They need to know that God loves them. How can we ever convey that without God's grace on our lips? How can we ever do it if we're not being Bereans and we're not in His Word and we're not walking by His wisdom, doing all things that are pleasing unto Him? The answer is we can't. We'll always end up being a fool. It will be wise in our own eyes. And it'll end up in complete ruin and destruction. And that's not what God has for us. That's not what God has for you. He has a good work. And He's ready to complete it. And He's not going to give up on you. So if there's an area in any of our lives, and I think we can all say there is with the tongue, because we know it can't be bridled, and we know we're all dealing with this old sin nature, but praise the Lord that we don't have to be slaves to sin. The ability of sin to control us was rendered inoperative at the cross, loved one. We have the righteousness of God, and now we don't have to live a life of willing sin. Do we fall? Do we fail? Absolutely. But God is there to lift us up, that we can continue to walk with Him in His wisdom. Why? So we can, in turn, tell people about Jesus and spread the good news of His gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank You for the night that we've had to learn about the characteristics of a fool, someone who walks in the exact opposite of what You have for us, which is Your wisdom. Lord, we only have from point A to point B in this life, and we know that Your Word teaches that life is but a vapor. But while we do have breath, Father God, we want to proclaim Your glory and Your goodness and Your love and Your grace. Oh, Father God, forgive us for showing people anything that is the opposite of Your grace. Being frustrated, losing our temper, talking instead of listening, being babblers, not being in the Word of God as we should, having a quiet time. Lord, forgive us in those areas. Help us to speak life to those that we encounter, because we have been given the gift of salvation. It's not by our own merit, but by simply accepting Your gift. Lord, illuminate those areas in our lives where we may not even realize we're acting as a fool. Maybe we're speaking against a supervisor or a boss because they're foolish and we're wrong in doing that. God, forgive us. Help us to seek You in prayer for those things that trouble our hearts, and learn to talk to You and not be babblers and speak evil of others. Help us to bring life, Father God, by Your grace and wisdom to all those we encounter. We thank You and we praise You, and it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this evening? As always, if you need prayer, we'll have people here to pray with you. And we have two chapters left in Ecclesiastes. There's something to be thankful for. Amen. Lord bless you this week.